So today we are celebrating something called Vaishnava Diksha, or initiation. One devotee is taking initiation. And so we're going to speak a little bit about initiation during class instead of the normal Bhagavatam class, but this is also Bhagavat philosophy. So, what is the purpose of initiation? Of course, sometimes the word initiation is described as to begin, when you initiate something. And sometimes it's described as joining something. And so we're talking about the word diksha. Divyagyan shayate. So, in other words, by this process of diksha, one gets transcendental knowledge and becomes detached from the material world and trained up in Krishna consciousness. So how does this happen? This happens because one gets what's called the seed of devotion, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ramanda Brahmate Konda Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhavi Bhakti Lata Bij. That one is wandering from various places in this material world, from one species of life to another. Let me just turn this down so I can't. One planet to another. And finally, one comes in contact with a spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master. And then one gets what's called the bhakti lata bija. That means basically the seed of the creeper of devotion. And it's described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that bhakti is not given by Krishna. That may come as a shock to all of you. Bhakti, he describes, is independent. And bhakti is given by Krishna's devotee. Basically, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna, say tumar Krishna dite par. That Krishna is yours, you have the power to give him, I'm simply running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. So when one comes in contact with a pure devotee, of course here we're referring to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, obviously. One gets this bhakti lata bij, the creeper or seed of devotion. And then that bhakti lata bij has to be watered by the process of devotional service. Just like, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares, the process of devotional service to growing plants in a garden. Lord Chaitanya says that I am a gardener in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when you're growing plants, you first of all have to water the plants, you have to put fertilizer on the plants, and perhaps even more important is you have to be careful of the weeds. Because so many weeds grow simultaneously with the plants. And also you have to be able to identify what is a weed and what is the plant. For example, I was just with some of my students here, Tirtharaj Mohini Radha, at their farm community. And they were showing me all these different herbs that were growing there. And as far as I was concerned, I could not distinguish between the herb and a weed. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd be pulling everything out. Or allowing everything to grow, as the case may be. Because I don't have the expertise. That's not one of my fields of knowledge. So, in the same way as one is cultivating this bhakti lata bij, one has to be aware of what the weeds are, which weeds are there. Of course, many weeds, such as the anarthas, kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, baryabhaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, pride, all these things are weeds. And it's quite difficult to find the weeds in our own heart. One has to be very introspective. But even being introspective, it's very hard, because it's hard to find fault in ourselves. So therefore, we need the association of Vaishnavas. Without the association of Vaishnavas, one cannot make any spiritual progress. Of course, we hear the statement, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarvashastra koi. Labhamatra sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhi hoy by all. Perfection is reached by having association with Vaishnavas, even a moment's association with the Vaishnava. But basically, we have to live with the Vaishnavas. Of course, that doesn't mean that everybody has to live in the temple. But one should live in such a way that you're regularly associated with the other devotees of the Lord, so the other devotees can point out when weeds are growing in your heart. I remember many years ago, I'll give an example of my own weeds in devotional service. It helps to be humble. So once upon a time, many years ago, before any of you were in this room were born, except for Lakshmi, anyway, what can I say? maybe you weren't born at that time. Anyway, so we were going on Sankirtan, and I was by myself. What happened is that I was arranging programs for two sannyasis, Rita Nanda Maharaj and Sasarupa Maharaj, and I was traveling in advance. It's called an advance party. And in those days, we were pretty austere. I was living in a Volkswagen Bug, which is a very small vehicle. And it's kind of hard to sleep in it because you have a shift stick there. Anyway, so I was distributing books. And I was becoming very proud because I was quite a good book distributor. I'm proud even now of it. So I was becoming very, very proud of this and thinking, wow, I'm really, whatever, say, God's gift to Krishna consciousness or something. So what happened is eventually I met up with the rest of the party after we arranged some engagements at the university, and there was Ridhananda Maharaj and Sasrup Maharaj. And I said to them, I'm really a fantastic book distributor. I can distribute a book to anyone who I want. And they looked at me, and they started laughing. In this way, that's a Vaishnava's mercy, you know, to laugh at you when you're acting like an idiot. So they started laughing, and I said, and I was starting to get angry. Because as the statement goes in Bengali, Upadeshu Himorkanam Prakopayana Shantaye, that if you give a fool good instructions, it simply makes him angry. So I was quite foolish. So I was getting angrier and angrier. They don't understand me, how advanced I actually am in devotional service. Just like one devotee one time, I said, you know, it would help if you had good sadhana. And he said, basically, isn't there any place for Raghunuga Bhaktas in this Krishna consciousness movement? And I said, well, if you are actually are a Raghunuga Bhakta, that's fine. Then you'll think, one of the symptoms is you're humble. And you think that, you know, I have no devotion for Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya said, he said, if I actually had devotion for Krishna, if I was actually a devotee, how could I live? Because, you know, devotion means, you know, feeling your separation of moments like 12 years or more, or, you know, eternity. So, anyway, so I got angry. And I said, just watch me distribute Prabhupada's books. And so I pulled my little book bag out. It was a university. And basically no one would stop for about 6 hours to even give me the time of the day. And I became chastened or chastised. And so that was my one lesson about the association of Vaishnavas. That it really, I had many other lessons too. Most of which I'm too embarrassed to talk about in class. So it's extremely important. And the holy names and the Bhagavatam, everything becomes more tasteful in the association of Vaishnavas. As Lord Kapiladev states in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhado bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha to joshanad ashu apavarga vartmani shuddha vithira bhakti anukramishati. That if you really want to progress in the path of devotional service, and he gives this partial understanding of the progression, the path of progression. He says Shraddha, Rithir, Bhakti, faith, taste, devotion. He said, then you have to associate with the devotees. It's Satam Prasangam. The devotees meet together. Prasangam. Like you have the Sangam, Prasangam. And what do? They don't watch TV together. Actually, I was just listening to a Prabhupada memory this morning. How Prabhupada one time asked a devotee to turn the TV on. This had nothing to do with class, but it's kind of funny. He asked the devotee to turn the TV on, and then Prabhupada wanted to look at the advertisements. And one advertisement was for a talking washing machine. You know how they advertise all sorts of stupid things. And Prabhupada was like rolling on the floor, basically laughing how stupid people were. So we associate with the devotees not to go to the cinema together. Sometimes devotees say that, well, I'm always associated with the devotees. You might, last night we went to the cinema. The other day we watched TV together. The day before we went to the restaurant, non-devotee restaurant, together. So I'm associating with the Vaishnavas. So, Satampa Sangam, but Mamavirya Sambhada, to hear about Krishna's heroic activities, Mamavirya. Virya means heroic. Just like when Prabhupada gave me my name, he pronounced it in Bengali. He said, beer. And I was just wondering, wow, I'm being named after an alcoholic beverage here. I got really upset, you know, wow. I said, I never drank before I joined the movement, Prabhupada. No, I didn't say that, but I was thinking like that. So, but then I understood that in Bengal they pronounce vir or the V as B, just like Prabhupada would say, Vrindavana. You understand? Vrindavana. Instead of Vrindavana, he said Vrindavana. So anyway, Virya Sambhada, the talks about Krishna's heroic activities. Krishna's wonderful, playful, heroic leelas. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katab. When you do this in the association of devotees, then what happens is that there's a channel. Prabhupada describes this. There's a channel between the ear and the heart. Rit Karna. Of course, Rit is this. This is Karna. Karna means ear in Sanskrit. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. That katha, that talk, will be poured as Rasayana. Like you have different tasty medicines. Rasa means like a taste. Ayana, something that's a medicine, like Rasayana. So the tasty medicine, in other words, something that tastes delicious, Rasayana Katha, will go from the ear to the heart. And then you'll actually make spiritual progress and stay on the straight and narrow path of devotional service, which Prabhupada described is like a razor's edge. And when Prabhupada was talking about a razor's edge, he was talking about the old types of razors they used to use. Well, you know the straight razors? I don't, because you ladies wouldn't know about that. But anyway, so when I was young, you go to the barber shop. That means the people cut your hair. And they had these straight razors that were like this, and they would sharpen them up by putting them on some piece of leather or something, you know, back and forth. And they were so dangerous that if the barber slipped, it would cut your ear off. Nowadays, of course, they have these safety razors. But Prabhupada was referring to the straight razor. A little slip, a little inattention, and there's blood. So one has to be very, very careful. So that's devotional service, like a razor's edge. One always has to stick in the association of devotees, be very careful to stick to one's sadhana. There's a tendency as one, let's say, has more time in Krishna consciousness, or at least thinks they're in Krishna consciousness, there's a tendency to become complacent. In other words, you know, been there, seen it, done it. I've been to so many Mangalartis. What am I going to learn here? It's the same old Guru Ashtaka prayers. Why don't we have some new song at Mangalarti? Anyway, you become complacent, inattentive first, and then gradually your regulated practices, I'm not talking about the regulated principles right now quite at this point, but your regulated practices of waking up early, going to Mangalarti, chanting your rounds with attention, become slackened. And when they become slackened, what happens is your bhakti starts to fall off and the weeds start to grow again, as we mentioned before. And then ultimately one thing leads to another, and then you find yourself blooping. Blooping is a word that Prabhupada invented. Prabhupada was talking about how one leaves the spiritual world. He says, you know, meow, bloop. And that's how the word blooping came about. So we don't want to bloop from the Krishna consciousness movement. But it's just, blooping is also a gradual process, as is becoming Krishna conscious. You know, we're just not attentive. So Krishna consciousness means being always attentive, 24 hours a day in whatever we're doing, especially in chanting the holy names. And that leads into what we're supposed to talk about during initiation, which is the 10 offenses. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakura states that inattention while chanting is basically the root cause of the other offenses. In other words, if you're aware of what you're doing, when you're doing it, while you're chanting the holy names, you're not going to be inattentive. In other words, if you're aware, Krishna is there. Nama Chintamani, Krishna is Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnashuddha Nitya Mukto, Vinatvama Nama Nama, no. Krishna is fully there in his holy names. Krishna is standing. Who's going to be inattentive? Like if Krishna were to walk into this room in front of our eyes, right now with his flute and his girlfriend, Radharani. I mean, who would fall asleep? You have to be pretty stupid. I mean, pretty ignorant. Krishna just walks in. Wow. It's Krishna. Of course, obviously, you'd offer your obeisances first. Krishna, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. So, you need to be attentive. Or even if some important person walked in, like the president of Slovenia. I won't mention the president of the United States anyway. So, you know. Yeah, there you throw tomatoes or whatever. So, I mean, if an important person walked in the room, or Bill Gates, what does it be, Bill Gates? He's probably the most important person in the world. He walked in the room, wow. Or George Harrison. I mean, some of the devotees, I was listening to a devotee describing how they wanted to meet George Harrison, and they were at, they were in the temple at Burry Place. And but Shambhashundar wanted to send all the devotees away so they wouldn't burn out George Harrison. So he sent all the devotees away, and these devotees hid so they could meet with George Harrison. They hid somewhere under a couch or something so they could see George Harrison. So any of these people walk in, and what to speak of Krishna. So when we chant Krishna's holy names, you're dealing directly with Krishna. I remember when Prabhupada installed the deities in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was crying. He said, you're dealing directly with Krishna, Shakshad Brajendra Nandana. So the holy names is like that. Wow, what a benediction. You're with your best friend, you know, Bhaktaram, Jagatapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshram. You're with, wow, it's just so amazing. But we become complacent. Isn't it amazing that every time you say Krishna, Krishna's there? I found it completely overwhelming. But then why am I sleeping when I'm chanting? Like one devotee one time said, you know, wake me up when my rounds are done. Are the rounds done yet? Is it time for prasadam? Or like Prabhupada jokingly one time, when he was chanting, he moved his last counter bead down. And he said, I finished my rounds, now I can do any damn thing. So, anyway, so attention. And so, what are we supposed to be attentive about? Let's talk about the 10 offenses. First offense, of course, is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord, propagating Krishna consciousness. That means anybody in any religion who is actually dedicated, or anyone who's trying to be dedicated. We should not even commit criticism or offenses in our mind. I was just listening. I listen to all these Prabhupada memories every morning. I mean, just like, they just come out anyway because I'm listening. So I was listening to one memory today. This is a wonderful series of the Prabhupada memories. It just like really helps connect me because when I hear the devotees' experience, of course I have my own experiences with Prabhupada, but when I hear other devotees' experiences, it's so nectarian. So anyway, so listening to this memory this morning where devotees were witnessing Prabhupada meeting with his godbrothers in Mayapur. And the godbrothers and Prabhupada asked the devotees to step out of the room. And the reason they were asked to step out of the room is the godbrothers were going to criticize Prabhupada. And what were they going to criticize Prabhupada for? The fact that his disciples were calling him Prabhupada. And so the discussion became very, very heated. Very, very heated. And then finally, I guess at the end of the discussion, they brought in the devotees, and Prabhupada said to the devotees, privately, without the godbrothers there, that they're very envious. He said, it's not that I am calling myself Prabhupada. You know, it's not that Prabhupada came up and said, hello, I'm Prabhupada. Although Prabhupada did insist upon his name being listed properly in his books, but the devotees didn't do that, he got very upset. Founder, Acharya, etc. But and Prabhupada said that they're simply envious. And of course, it's not for us to criticize Prabhupada's godbrothers. I'm just quoting Prabhupada at this particular point. So we have this problem of envy in our hearts. You know, if someone does well, or someone's preaching enthusiastically, distributing many books, then we just criticize them. And how do we criticize them? Well, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we have different methods of criticizing Vaishnavas. One method is their past life. Another one is their present, like, let's say, reactions or token reactions for past activities. Let's say someone is not exactly looking like Rambo or the Terminator, whatever. Someone doesn't look handsome or beautiful, or someone has some legal problems, or someone has some disease, or someone makes some mistake, or even someone has accidentally does something. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description about why we criticize others. And then, so we're very enthusiastic to find fault in others. And actually, as the statement goes, is when we point our fingers at someone else, of course, especially the ego finger, like that, then the rest of the fingers, 10 fingers, come back and point at ourselves. And or as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that I'm finding fault in others because I myself am pockmarked with that same fault. I mean, how would I find fault in you unless I knew about it, that particular fault? So therefore, very careful around Vaishnavas. Any Vaishnava, just very, very careful. That's why we call each other Prabhu, or ladies, Prabhi, as the feminine goes. Because we're all masters. Instead, we use this word Prabhu sometimes to yell at people. Hey, Prabhu! You nonsense, Prabhu! That's like saying, hey, my dear master, you're a nonsense. It's sort of like an oxymoron, you know, contradiction right there in words. Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva Jai. So, anyway, just to continue, be careful around all the Vaishnavas or anyone who has dedicated their life to God or service to God. Don't have to be careful around Mayavadis. Then we can... Not we should kick them in their faces with boots, but that anyway, we can get angry at people who blaspheme God. So, second offense, I don't think many of you have that problem because I don't see anyone from India here. Anyone from India? No. So, consider the names of the demigods by Lord Shiva, Lord or Indra or any of the other demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. I don't think anyone has that problem, no. No Hindus here. We have that problem when we go to Fiji. Big problem. They think, wow, I'm having so many problems in my life because I stopped worshiping Ganesh. You know, people have all these superstitions and traditions and everything. So anyway, the next offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. One should not follow the spiritual master blindly. One has a right to say, why? Why should I do this? What is the reason? But there should be the proper etiquette. Next offense is to blaspheme Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Next offense is to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. As we mentioned before, Krishna is there in his holy name. It's not just imagination. It's not just some physiological effect. Sometimes devotees talk about the physiological effects from chanting. You know, the alpha waves or the beta waves. You know, we're not interested in that. The chanting is transcendental. Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtana. It's not simply a mechanical movement of the lips and tongue. It has to descend, and has to descend through disciplic succession. So, and then another offense is to give some perverted interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. Next offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. That means thinking you can excuse yourself, like the Catholics sometimes think they can excuse themselves by confessing their sins. Or in the religion that I was born in, once a year you actually just confess your sins. That's it's better than the Catholic religion, the religion I was born in. Only one day a year. It's called Yom Kippur. You fast. And you say, forgive me for my sin, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Okay, got it. Ready to go. Another year of sin. So that doesn't work. Prabhupada compared the being forgiven for sins to the American baseball game. And in the baseball game, you have three strikes and you're out. Prabhupada said one strike, two strikes, you know, one time you do something, two times you do something. All right, Krishna says, okay, the guy or the girl is sincere. But three strikes, you know, you're a rascal. You're out. Anyway, of course, Krishna will always accept you back. Prabhupada will always accept you back. But still, don't test it. So, committing sins in the strength of chanting. Also, one should not think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is like one of the rituals found in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Also, one should not think the chanting of Hare Krishna is like a ritual. Like, we do many rituals in the Krishna conscious movement. Like, we wear certain types of clothes. Don't worry, it's not Krishna West discussion. So, we wear certain clothes. We have a little pigtail that's called a sika behind our heads. It's meant to take us back to Godhead. That's why the women get back to Godhead sooner than the men. There's more hair. You know, my secret would probably pull out before Krishna got me back to Godhead. So, I mean, we have all these, you know, the different rituals that we do. But nothing is compared to the holy names. The whole point of all these rituals, the whole point of all the rules and regulations is, according to Rupa Goswami, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So if you get too much into rituals, you may forget Krishna. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example. I talked to the devotees about this yesterday. Sometimes when doing arti, you have all these different procedures, the mudras, and how many circles around, how many circles around, how many circles. So my experience is if I get too much into counting when I'm doing arti, I just become a mathematician. Then I have to take my mobile phone out with a calculator. Pardon me. How many circles did I do? You know, or get one of those like counters. You know, people use for chanting japa nowadays that they put on their fingers. while I'm doing Archie. So I figured I'm supposed to be thinking of Krishna while I'm doing this, not one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a seven. So therefore, I adjust things so I can think of Krishna while I'm doing the Arti. So that's the whole point. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So don't think the chanting is like anything else. It is the essence of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. You perfect your chanting, go back to God. It is the Yuga Dharma. That's it. So, and then next offense is to instruct the glories of the holy name to those who are faithless. That means explain things to people when you're preaching as much as they can accept. That's all. Just like Lord Jesus said in the Bible, as much do I have to tell you, but you cannot bear to hear. So you tell people enough, not so they get offensive, not so they get confused, not so that they reject, but you tell them what they can listen, hear. For many people, that may be, you're not your body, you're reincarnating, and there's God. You don't talk to people about, go out in the street and say, hey, God has a girlfriend. And, you know, not only one girlfriend, like millions of girlfriends. And he runs around with other people's wives in the middle of the night. Isn't that nice? No, you don't talk about that. Probably you don't even talk about that in Bhagavatam class. Unless you happen to be reading the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So just be careful what you talk about. As Jesus Christ said, don't throw pearls before a particular animal. Which I won't mention in class. So, the last offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of holy name and maintain material attachments. It's not offensive to be materially attached. It's offensive to be maintaining and increasing. We should be trying to clear up these attachments. How do you clear these attachments? You become attached to Krishna. You can't get rid of the attachments just by getting rid of them. Just like, say, if you're experiencing right now, if you're thinking, when will this end? So, because I'm hungry. And you're attached to your tongue. I want to eat. My stomach's talking. So the way you overcome that is by, you look at the deities, you appreciate, maybe you can't appreciate what I'm saying, but at least you appreciate the beauty of the deities. You appreciate the Bhagavatam and this wonderful atmosphere we have here. And then when your mind is absorbed in Krishna, then you forget about whatever you happen to be attached to. So it's raso varjam raso pyasa palam drisani vartate. And then, as we mentioned, all the offenses are underlying all the offenses in attention or in intent of chanting. So, just one other point. One other point is how, on a positive way, to perfect your chanting. My advice is you study the Shikshashtika that was spoken and written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Shikshashtika has eight verses, that's why it's called the Shikshashtika, that instruct us what to think when we're chanting the holy name. And of course, we may not be on the level of the eighth verse of the Shikshashtika when we're chanting. Krishna, do anything to me, crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted. You're completely free to do anything and everything. I mean, I can't say that to Krishna. Phew, I'd be scared, isn't it, to say that to Krishna? Krishna, anything you want to do, do. I'd say, no, please don't. Be gentle. Like Prabhupada sometimes would chastise a devotee for saying that they were on a higher platform than they actually were. Like Prabhupada, one time a devotee said, I just want to serve Krishna life after life, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, you should want to go back to Godhead. And of course, on a higher platform, mama janmani, janmani shvare bhavata bhakti hoi tuki chwaye. So be honest. And as Prabhupada said, when you chant, you should chant like a child crying out for his mother. And one verse in the Shikshashtika pretty much resonates with that instruction. That's ayinanda tunijakinkaram patitamam. Vishame bhavambudo kripya tava padapankaja. Sitaduli sadrasam bhajintya. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I'm suffering in this horrible material world. Please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. I mean, that's a really nice prayer for us. In other words, help. that translates that into English, you know. Help, Krishna. Help. So, therefore, Krishna puts us in situations, so we do ask for help. Yashaham anagrinami harishe tadanam shanai. I find that, personally, that Krishna puts us in situations where it's beyond our, as they say, it's above our pay scale. That means it's beyond our ability to cope with. And we just go, oh, Krishna, help. Like Draupadi. Draupadi was trying to fight with Dushyant. He was pulling the sari. And she was pulling back. And Dushyant was, you know, pretty strong. Very strong. And she wasn't able to withstand his pulling. And finally she just said, Govinda, help! And Krishna provided unlimited sari. Another time with Draupadi is when Durvasa Muni came and the Pandavas had already eaten and they had this pot. No food would come out after the Pandavas and Draupadi ate. And she just was wondering, everyone was in anxiety. She said, Krishna! Krishna appeared and he helped. So this is the point. We have to come to that point of saying, Krishna, help. And that's basically almost all the verses of the Shikshasagar are in that mood. Krishna, you know, please free me from Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kapidam, Vajagadishikamaya. So anyway, so if one chants in that mood, then you can make rapid spiritual advancement and come back to Krishna. And then, so apart from that, you know, initiation means joining the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya and connecting in ISKCON with Srila Prabhupada, who is the primary source of Shiksha, our primary focal point for our devotional service, and serving Prabhupada's mission with one's life, soul, body, words. Because we are missionaries. That is Lord Chaitanya's movement, the Sankirtan movement. It's not simply a japa movement, although we chant japa. It's a movement to spread. It's a movement. That's why Prabhupada didn't call it the Hare Krishna religion. He called it the Hare Krishna movement because it's meant to move. Forward, not backwards. Anyway, we're meant to move and increase the number of devotees. Take over the world. Save the world. That's our mission, to save the world. So we're all part of that mission, men, women, children. And cooperate in ISKCON. We all cooperate together and take some part, like Prabhupada said, keep the wheels turning. Someone takes a very humble position. Someone takes a puffed up position like me. Someone with a lot of false ego. And so we take, you know, we take our place to help move this movement forward. And we become very happy when we see some ecstatic preaching, just like I read on the internet sometimes, my God brothers or God sisters are doing some amazing preaching. And I just, wow, this is great. And I brag about them. You want to brag? Brag about the other devotees. It's really nice, isn't it? Wow. Okay. So that's, in a nutshell, initiation. So now we'll proceed with the fire portion. And first you got to do the purification. Then we give the name. And then you do the havan. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.